We're starting a new series today called Our Mark, His World. And so I just want to start with a question. How well do you follow instructions? Are you pretty good at following instructions? Think about that question for a little bit. I was back in eighth grade, take you back a little bit, when I was in eighth grade, and I had my very first piano competition. Now, I had been playing piano for a few years, and so I was fairly experienced, but this was my first piano competition, so I decided on playing the piece, the jazz classic, Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin. It was a very beautiful piece. If you don't know what that is, I would encourage you to look it up. So anyway, I practiced and I was prepared and I was ready for this competition. It was my turn to play. And so I sat down and I played with a lot of emotion and made very few mistakes and then sat back down. And you know, when I was in eighth grade, I wasn't a very competitive person and I'm still not really to this day, but something about when you're in a competition, all of a sudden you start sizing up how you compare to others. Have you ever done that? Yeah, so I was sizing up and I was like, after every time someone else played, I was like, oh, I was better than they were. And I wouldn't have said that, of course, but I was thinking it inside. And so it got to the very last person who played, and I'm like, man, I got first place in the bag. It's so easy, which is not a great way to handle a competition. And so the judges, it came time for the judges to make their decision, and third place was called, and it was not my name. And I was like, obviously. Second place was called, it was not my name. And I'm like, here we go. You know, I got on the edge of my seat, ready for first place. Called first place and it was not my name. I didn't even get honorable mention. I didn't even get a participant award. That's how sad it was. And so I thought there must be some mistake. So I went to my piano teacher and tried to figure it out. And I was like, what? They must have missed something. Here we found out that the piece that I had played was not the original score. It was an adapted piece. And so my performance was disqualified. Thank you for your compassion. I appreciate that so much. But I learned a very valuable lesson. It does not matter how much you prepare for something if you don't follow the instructions. A very important principle in there. And so today we're gonna look at some final words that Jesus gave his followers. Really, those final words were a beginning for his followers, and they were instructions. And this instructions is what has been called the Great Commission. We're gonna look at Matthew's account of this, the Gospel of Matthew. And if you grew up in church, this is probably a familiar passage to you. And if you haven't grown up in church, if this is new to you, I would encourage you, these are some very significant words that Jesus gave his followers after he died on the cross, after he was buried in the tomb, after he rose from the dead. There was about a 40-day period where he was revealing himself to, Paul said, over 500 people. Jesus showed himself as the risen Savior, so eyewitnesses. And that's why I would say it would be so easy to debunk the resurrection, except that Jesus showed himself to over 500 eyewitnesses to the risen Savior. And so after all of that, he gives, Matthew records this moment, and I want us to read Matthew 28. Let's start at verse 16. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Now, most likely there were more than just 11 disciples here. There are probably many disciples of Jesus. And I want us just to go back to what that moment would feel like. As Matthew records that they worshiped him, but some of them doubted. Now, if I would ask us, you know, would we be in the worshiped him group or the doubting group? We'd probably all say, oh, I'd be in the worshiped him group, right? But if I'm really evaluating myself, honestly, I would tend to be a little bit skeptical if somebody said that they rose from the dead. And so even in this moment, they saw Jesus in the flesh and they still doubted. So it gives me some hope, and I hope it gives us some hope, that even if we have some doubts or some questions, Jesus is not write you off. He still is extending the hand and he wants to have a personal interaction with you. So let's keep reading. Verse 18, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's easy in life to get distracted. Again, these words are written to followers of Jesus. So if you're a follower of Jesus, I would encourage you to tune into what these words are. If you're not a follower of Jesus and you're here today, you're listening or watching online, I would invite you to tune in because this gives you very clear instructions from Jesus on what it means to be a follower of Jesus. What is the overall mission and purpose of a follower of Jesus? And so in this message, I want to give credit to Warren Wiersbe, who wrote a commentary in the Gospel of Matthew, and I put a lot of great stuff from that. But I want to give you three pillars of the Great Commission that gives us God-given purpose. Three pillars of the Great Commission. Here's where we're going to start. Number one, I want to encourage you to write this down. Number one is the word authority. Authority. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me on heaven and on earth. What is authority? By definition, authority is the right to use power. Think about an author. An author has the right to determine how the book is written. So when Jesus said, all authority is given to me, he's putting himself in this position of authority. He has the right to use this power. And we have a decision as his followers and all humans, really. How are we going to respond to Jesus as the authority? Have we brought our lives under the authority of Jesus, not just as Savior, but as Lord? How do we respond to authority? Well, what is authority? What's a good way to understand? I remember when I was 16 and my parents taught me how to drive and I got my license. They taught me how to follow and obey the speed limit. And I complied for like the first week. But do you know what really motivated me to comply to follow the speed limit? When a police officer was right behind me. Interesting how all of a sudden I'm like, what's the speed limit? Oh, it's 55. I'm gonna go 55 right now. The judges that disqualified my piano performance, they had the authority to disqualify. Like, it didn't matter how much I complained or whined or made a scene. At the end of the day, they made the decision because they had the authority. Authority. Have we brought our lives under the authority of who Jesus is? I love how the Apostle Paul writes, how he describes this authority of who Jesus is. Go to Colossians chapter 2. I'm sorry, Colossians 1 verse 15. Paul writes this, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is his body. He is the beginning, supreme, over all, who rises from the dead. So he is first in everything. So I'll just ask one more time. Have we brought our lives under the authority of Jesus? You know what that means? It means daily turning from our selfish desires and living for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bringing our lives under his authority is what it means to be a follower. And it sets this foundation for the Great Commission. So authority, number one. Second pillar is, number two, is activity. Activity. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all the nations. Now, activity sounds like bingo night, right? I just have a little activity going on, but it's not. It's much bigger than that. Activity, by definition, is to be active, One of the definitions I read, it's pointing to work that is connected to knowledge application. Not just book study, but how to apply knowledge. So it's not just gaining some knowledge about something, but it's actually learning how to apply in a very practical way. So it's being active. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. So let's dig into this statement a little bit. First thing about that I see in this statement is that we should make disciples, not just be a disciple. It's active. If you look at that phrase, the go and make disciples, it's actually the word, that phrase should, in the original language, is the word go, is or the verb go is in a present participle, and I think I'm explaining this right. If you're an English major, you could probably correct me. But it should actually be understood as you're going, make disciples. As you're doing the things that you do, influence those around you with this good news of who Jesus is. Go and make disciples. There's a difference between just, you know, if we use the education again, if there's a difference between just getting a major and actually using that major. There's a difference between being a disciple, it's very important to be a disciple, and actually using that relationship with Jesus and putting that to practice in your life to influence the people around you. Of all nations. I just love that Jesus calls this out. And we know the cliche that says, there's only one race, the human race, right? And there's truth to that, and I believe that. But I also see that God has intentionally created different races, different cultures, and there's beauty in this diversity. I love getting to know people who have different skin color from me. Speak a different heart language than what I speak. I love getting to know people who are more expressive than I am. You know, you may not have known, this may be a surprise to you, but I'm kind of a laid-back personality. And I love people who are expressive. I love my Hispanic brothers and sisters. All right. Because they are a great example to me of how to be expressive in worship and how to be expressive, how to celebrate the goodness of God, but also feel things deeply. So when I see people of all nations, I just think, God, you are the creator of this, and you want us to not prejudge anyone based on what's on the exterior. Go and make disciples of all nations. That means we need to be about people. Then Jesus said, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that means? It means, second thing, is to be immersed in Christ. Be immersed. You know, baptism is being immersed. If you jump in a pool, do you know what your testimony would be? I once was dry, but now I'm wet. Right, because you're immersed in that. But let's think about this. In 1977, I was born into the family of Glenn and Joanne Milan. So I was immersed into this family and the culture of this family. I'm grateful for it. But it influenced who I am today. I was immersed in it. As a teenager and a young adult, I was immersed into playing piano and music, and I saw myself as an artist. And it became a little bit of my identity in a healthy way. So when Jesus gives this directive to be baptized, water baptism is an example of this, right? When you're baptized, you are publicly declaring that you're all in, you're following Jesus. But when you go down into the water, you're identifying with Jesus' death, and it's your old life staying down in there. When you come out, it's representing this new creation in Christ, this new identity. Why do we talk about identity so much? Because here's why. Because identity is one of the greatest needs of humanity. The greatest, one of the greatest characteristics, the beautiful characteristics of humanity. Because the identity, where we find our identity, answers two of these existential questions. Who am I and where do I belong? Who am I? Where do I belong? And Jesus gives us this new identity in him, and he invites us to be immersed in it. In Ephesians chapter 2, Again, going back to how Paul taught this, verse 19, he says, so now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. So if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. What unites this community, this family of God, of all nations, is this identity in Jesus. Together, we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Joined together in him. I don't know if I fully understand those words. We, as many people, are joined together in him. So you are a new creation in Christ, and you have a place to belong in this community of faith. We're talking about activity, right? Be immersed in Christ. The third thing about this activity, Jesus said, is to teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that he gave. And you might be thinking, are you serious? All the commands? I mean, how many commands are there? Not only do I have to obey all the commands, but I also need to teach them. I'm not really a teacher. How do we do all these commands? Well, let me tell you what all the commands are. John chapter 13, Jesus simplified it. Really, really easy for us to remember. Verse 34, he says this. So now I am giving you a new commandment. A, everybody say A. A new commandment. That's really simple. Do you know what that new commandment is? Love each other. And we might read that and think, well, what does it mean, love? Is it some kind of emotional love? If I feel like it, is it a feeling? That kind of love is not a feeling. That kind of love is a willingness, unselfish concern to seek the best interest of someone else. Love each other. Now we might say, well, can you give us a little bit more? Is it just unconditional, or are there some conditions for how we express our love? So he takes it a step further and he says, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Because it's your love for one another, that's what's going to prove to the world that you are my disciples. So when you think about teaching these new disciples all the commands, the foundation of all of that is how we love. You don't need a microphone and a platform to teach how to love. That's how we walk with somebody. Now, if you're a new disciple, teaching sound doctrine is very, very important. Learning, understanding the scripture and how to apply it to your life. Very, very important. But at the foundation of all of that, Jesus is very clear. He says, love one another as I have loved you. So if you want to know how to do this, discover how much did God love us through his son, Jesus. And then show that to other people. Teach. You know, the best way to learn is to teach. I learned a lot when I took piano lessons. I learned a lot of how to play piano. It took for many years. But you know, I learned so much more when I started teaching piano. I had a few students. I learned a lot when someone trained me how to finish drywall when I was a contractor. But I learned so much more when I started to teach someone else how to finish drywall. I learned a lot when I took classes on studying the Bible, when I took some writing classes. I learned a lot. But I learned so much more when I began to teach the Bible and practice all of these different skills and just walk it out. And it is the same way. When we learn how much Jesus loved us, to actually teach that to someone else and show them what it is to love, like Christ loved us, that's what's gonna make disciples. So Jesus established his authority. He gave us an activity. And then the third pillar is the ability. He gave us the ability. Do you know how I have confidence that Jesus gave us the ability? I just love this statement that Matthew records Jesus saying. If you go back to Matthew 28, verse the last, very last verse. He says, be sure of this. Whenever I see a phrase like that in scripture, that lets me know that this may be an idea or a concept that is easy to doubt or easy to forget or easy to feel uncertain about. And so Jesus just uses this phrase, be certain, be sure, don't forget. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He will not abandon you. So he gives these instructions and then he gives the ability, doesn't just drop some kind of superpower on you, he gives you the ability with his presence. Have you ever been trained in a job? Maybe a boss gives you a new responsibility, gives you instructions and then abandons you? Have you ever been trained in a job, given instructions and they said, hey, if you have any questions, just give me a call. And then when you call them, all you get is a voicemail? That's not what Jesus does. He gives us instructions and then he walks with us. He is God with us, Emmanuel. Gives us the ability to do that. Now, this is a very familiar passage. I've read it many times. But when it comes to applying it to our lives, there's still some questions and doubts that I can experience. Confidence that I can question. Do I have what it takes? A couple weeks ago, I was with three of my friends, the four of us, we go out to dinner, I don't know, maybe once every other month, and we've been doing this for years with some of my closest friends. And so every time we go out, we have really good conversation, then we get into, somehow inevitably, it turns into the craziness in our world, right? And a lot of times something about politics comes up. And we're talking about artificial intelligence and how that's changing so rapidly. And somebody made some kind of comment like, man, it just seems like the world is getting crazier and crazier. Have you ever had that observation? Yeah. And so we were talking about this and, you know, just how it seems like the world is getting crazier. And then one of the guys at the table, he looked at me and he said, you know, Matt, I've quoted you. And that always makes me really nervous when people quote me. He said, I've quoted you from something that you said in 2016. And that made me very nervous. I'm like, I don't really remember all the things I said in 2016. He said, we were standing after church talking in Main Street. And that week, the Supreme Court just made some kind of ruling that was very anti-scripture. And he said, I was, you know, kind of venting my frustration and I was angry and I was disappointed and I was looking at our country. And I'm like, what's going on in our country? And he said, you looked at me and said, what a time to be alive. Now, I tell you that story not to say, wasn't that an amazing quote I said? Because now you fast forward, he's recalling this and we're having this conversation a couple weeks ago and he relayed that to me, and that's what I needed to hear. Because over the last few weeks and months, I was having some of those same thoughts. Man, I don't know if I have what it takes. As a pastor, as a dad, I mean, we all deal with pressure in life. I don't know if I have what it takes. And those words, I needed to hear them. What a time to be alive. That God would have us be born right now to carry out this great commission to be salt and light. And I want to remind you, you are born here today. God could have had you been born 100 years ago. But as long as you have breath, God wants to work through you and invites us to be part of this great commission. What a time to be alive. So in those moments where you may feel like, do I have what it takes? I'm here to tell you that you do. And the confidence I have, don't just take my words as a confidence. The confidence is this phrase that Jesus said, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you believe that today? Oh, do you receive that? I pray that you receive that in your heart. I want to just create a little bit of space in our time here, not to move away from this too quickly, but there may be one of these words that have just gripped your heart. Maybe it's authority. Maybe there's an area in your life that you have not brought under the authority of Jesus as your Lord, not just Savior. Maybe it's activity. Maybe you've gotten distracted by situations in your life, or maybe the craziness in our world, and it's brought your eyes off of the great commission that Jesus has given us, and you got wrapped up and distracted. Maybe you've lost your confidence. Maybe you've been dealing with something that's happened to you, pain that other people have caused. Maybe you're dealing with the result of your own decisions. But the good news of who Jesus is, he invites us to come to him. Maybe we need to repent of our sins, receive this forgiveness. But Jesus is the one who gives a clean slate so that your past does not determine your future. And so I want to just invite us just to bow our heads and just have a moment to just simply say, Holy Spirit, what are you speaking? What are you speaking to us through your word? And if the Spirit of God gives you some clarity, I would encourage you to write it down. Because it's something that you can revisit this coming week. Lord, I thank you for your word. It is life-giving. It breathes life, it breathes hope into those areas of our lives that may be dry, desolate, dying. It corrects us when we're on the wrong path. It teaches us what to do, how to do what is right. So Lord, forgive us when we've gotten distracted by life, when we've gotten off course. God, forgive me when I've doubted. When I've doubted that you're with me. God, I pray that our confidence will be built on this truth that you never leave, you never forsake, you never abandon. Oh, people may abandon us, people may let us down, but you never do, you never will. And so God, today we, as a church, we commit to following this great commission. As we're going to make disciples, not just be disciples, but make them. As we're going, God, we would be immersed in this identity in Christ, knowing who we are and where we belong. New creation, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new and becoming new. God, I pray that as a church, we would commit to loving one another as Christ has loved us. Forgive us when we have not acted that way. and help us to love like Christ loved us, love others, because that's what's gonna mark the disciples of Jesus, their love for one another. Oh God, would you help us? And I pray all of this in Jesus' name, and if you're in agreement with that, would you say amen? Amen. Well, are you thankful for God's word today? And I pray that it encourages you, really. I don't want to dismiss our time here. I just feel compelled. If you are here today and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity. I got someone let me know between services that in our 9 a.m. service, one of the high school graduates brought a friend and they gave their life to Christ this morning. So if you're here today and you've never made that decision, I want you to know you're not alone. Or maybe you've been part of church all your life, but it never is personal where you've really choose to surrender your life, bring your life under the authority of who Jesus is, and live your life according to his will and his perfect and pleasing and good way of life. It starts with this decision. And so I want to lead you in a prayer. And it's a prayer of decision that will set you on a new path. It's a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer of receiving this clean slate forgiveness. And so I'm just going to ask one more time, would you bow your heads? And if you'd like to pray that prayer, make that decision today, I'm gonna ask you to repeat this after me. And I'm just gonna invite everyone to repeat it just so nobody's praying alone. Would you just say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. I believe he died on the cross and rose from the dead for me. I repent of my sins. I receive forgiveness. My old life is gone. And a new life begins with Jesus as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, or if you know you needed to make this commitment today, I want to invite you to do something that takes a lot of courage in a room like this. Would you just raise your hand till an usher sees you? They have a gift for you. In that box, there's a Bible and some other material. And it's our way to walk with you. So just keep your hand up until an usher sees you. And after the service, we have a room called Connections. Would you stop by there? And we'd love to help you and pray with you any way that we can serve you. Because this journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone. If you're watching online, you can connect with us as well by texting prayer to the number that you see on the screen. We'd love to connect with you that way. But this journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone. That's why I love the local church, really. Because you have people in this congregation, this community that's have been going to church for many, many years, following Jesus faithfully. Then you have people who are very new to faith, people making decisions today. Imagine the strength that there is in how we grow together. If we can get a hold of what Paul is talking about, well, together in him, we're a house. So if wherever you are on your journey, I just wanna encourage you, get connected with other people. It's gonna help you grow. All right, would you all stand, please? If you need prayer today, we'll have our prayer team down front. If you're newer to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections as well. We'd love to help you get connected. Come back next week for part two of our series, Our Mark, His World. And let me just close with this. Don't forget, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for a purpose. So go out this week, passionately pursue the purpose God has on your life, and let's stay connected all throughout the week.